Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for March 2nd, 2018. And I am so happy to have you here today. We got another great show planned for you. On today's show, we will be talking to Josh May. Josh is the new owner of the Depot Street Grill, and their grand opening is next week. And we're going to find out not only what's happening with the grand opening, but we're going to take some time to get to know Josh a little bit and about his wife and why they got into the restaurant business. So we're going to be talking to Josh in just a little bit. Before we get to that, first of all, if you'd like to call in today, that number is 541-299-0498, 541-299-0498, or you can send an email to feedback@943thebridge.com, put Rogue Talk in the subject line, and finally, you can reach me on the Rogue Talk Facebook page, at Rogue Talk on Facebook. So those are the ways you can reach us here. And so let's get into Rogue River news. And one of the news stories in the news this week for Rogue River was the most recent school board meeting. And if you have any thoughts on that, as I get into this, I'd love to hear from you. So definitely call in. And if I've piqued your interest talking about the school board, I'll give you that number one more time, 541-299-0498. Now, taking a look at some of the things that they've been talking about at the recent school board meetings. At the last meeting, I wasn't able to attend, but I was able to get a pretty good briefing on it from a couple of sources, including the Rogue River Press. And one of the things that's being discussed, of course, is some of the ways that the bond measure that was passed, how those monies are being spent and if they're being spent properly and in the places that they're supposed to be spent. Excuse me, I had to hit my cough button there. I still got past the flu, but I'm still struggling with keeping my throat clear here. And we'll try and keep it clear for the rest of this broadcast if we can. So getting back to the school board, one of the things they're supposed to be doing with the bond money or the money from the bond measure was, of course, overhauling the HVAC systems in all three of our school buildings. And that was, again, one of the primary reasons why they passed the bond. And there appears to be some issues in the process. The process has been bogging down lately. And these problems, these slowdowns, if you want to call them that, they're delaying the projects, but also they can lead to cost overruns. They can lead to having to actually use other monies that they didn't intend on using, at least initially, to get these projects done. And so I was trying to look at what some of the problems were and why there's some issues. And the first big problem is that they hired not one, but two engineering firms to come in and to assess the problems in each of the buildings and to come up with a schematic or a plan for each building on installing these new systems or retrofitting or whatever the plan was going to be. They were going to come up with these schematics. Well, as you might imagine, this being a quasi-government program, you bring in two different consultants, two different engineering firms, and they're fighting with one another, not so much on the work that's being done, but they're not agreeing on compensation and how much each firm should be getting. And so there's been a little bit of tension in that respect. And so, of course, what that's led to is the project manager having to step back and go, this is not a good thing. This is starting to cause us to be delayed. We still don't have our schematics done, and this project is looking like it's going to take longer now than we had hoped. So the project manager, who is from the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, made the suggestion that they change the method of the bidding, and what they want to change to, they call a CM/GC method. And what that stands for is construction manager / general contractor model. And basically what this means in this instance, if they switch to this bidding model, this CMGC model, would mean that a contractor, the general contractor, would be awarded the contract, the bid would be accepted before we actually have all of the plans for what's going to be done. Well, you can imagine what kind of problems that can bring. The reason they didn't start with that model is because that model, when it's been used in the past, tends to lead to more cost overruns and more delays. It's not always the worst model, but on a large scale project like this, it involves three different schools or three different, let's call them buildings, even though there's more than three buildings, because actually the one of the schools is represented by two of the buildings. The elementary school, represents two buildings, the old middle school and the elementary school. So it's a little confusing, but anyhow, this type of a project, it's probably was felt that this second method was not the best way to go about it, which is why they weren't using that method. But now they're talking about possibly switching to that. And so, of course, this kind of a change means that the project is likely going to be delayed, and the district, it appears, will likely dip into the statewide safety net funding. Now, it's not cool. I don't know what kind of a thought that brings to you, that term, the safety net funding. It's not quite as catastrophic as it sounds, but it wasn't the intention for them to do it that way. They intended for the bond measure to be able to meet up to the needs, at the current time. It'll meet up to the needs regardless, but they may have to dip into this other fund in order to balance their budget. And I could do a whole nother show on the way school funding works, the federal, the state, the local funding, the different poverty programs that adjust how much funding you get. And I mean, there's just any number of things, and I'm not going to get into it today. Again, I could do a whole show or even a whole week of shows trying to explain how all of that works. And frankly, I probably wouldn't do that because I'm not sure I could explain it. I've been reading up on it and I don't even understand all of it. But anyhow, it seems like it's a little bit of a mess right now. So let's move on to some of the other things that are going on. Of course, the recent school shootings have everybody talking about the safety in the schools. And of course, that was a matter brought up at this most recent meeting. And it is something we should be talking about. But I have to say, it was already something we were talking about when we were, before the bond measure was passed. That was one of the issues that was supposed to be addressed by the bond measure in part. There were many other things, but this was one of them. Now, there has been some new fencing put up over on the west campus of the elementary school, and that's a good thing, but we're nowhere near having a single entry system at our three school buildings or three school properties. And that was something that was discussed and debated during the promotion of the second bond measure, because it didn't pass the first time around. And so there needs to be more done on that. Maybe there's more urgency now that, we've had another school shooting. But the reason that we were talking about it when the bond measure came up was because of school shootings and you know, the violence that comes to, you know, gun-free zones like a school. So that's another issue that, that needs to be dealt with. So then on top of that, and I don't know how much, if any of this was discussed at the current board meeting, but these other items have been brought up in the past and they're being discussed. The discussion of a year-round school year, and now a new proposal for a charter-style school, a charter-style school within a school, when the district already has a partnership with Reach, the charter, the local charter school here, and they're talking about another charter school within the school. Now, would that be in competition with Reach? Would that eliminate Reach's partnership with the district altogether? How does that look? But you put all these things together, and I, the only thing I'm going to kind of say on this is that I, whether it's the district or it's the school board or whoever is making these decisions, and again, I'm not against talking about things, but let's slow down a little bit. Let's get things right. Let's take care of the stuff that we're doing now. The HVAC system is already having issues. Now, this has nothing to do with the schools, but we saw this same kind of thing happen when they put the new bridge in. Problem after problem, delay after delay, changing of contractors. It's the government model, I'm afraid, and we're just seeing it happen again. So I would just say, let's slow things down. Let's get the things done that we're already doing, and let's not be too hasty in trying to search for all these new things we can do. There's plenty of time for that. Let's stick to what we need to get done first. So that's all I've got to say about that. And I've got a little bit of Chieftain sports news, but I think I'll hold that till the end of the show. I don't want to waste any of Josh's time. So we will take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will talk to Josh May from the Depot Street Grill.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A Florida police union is calling for more transparency in the investigations into the law enforcement response to a February 14th mass shooting at a high school that killed 17 people. In a Miami Herald report Friday, Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association Chief Jeff Bell says Sheriff Scott Israel should release all surveillance videos, audio recordings, and dispatch logs documenting the response to the shooting. Following a funeral service before 2,000 people, Billy Graham's family has placed flowers on his casket at a private interment ceremony. The private ceremony on Friday afternoon took place at his graveside in the prayer garden at the Billy Graham Library. Family members placed white roses on the casket when the interment ceremony concluded. On Wall Street, a mixed day as the Dow was down by 71 points to 24,538. The NASDAQ, however, rose by 77. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's begin with action in the NBA yesterday. The Lakers beat Miami 131-113. It was the Sixers over Cleveland 108-97. Sixers center Joel Embiid says he enjoyed himself on the court while the Cavs tried unsuccessfully to stop him.
The double team came, but I was already into my fadeaway, so I felt like Kobe, and I shot it. And then I made it, and I made sure to let them know that, well, I'm one of the best players in the world. So I love it. I mean, it's all about having fun, and I have fun.
Sacramento beat Brooklyn 116-111 in overtime. Trailblazers 108 and Minnesota 99. AP Top 25 college basketball. Number one, Virginia got a scare but survived Louisville last night 67-66. Number 10, Cincinnati over Tulane 78-49. Number 11, Wichita State also a winner. This is SRN Sports. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Carolina 4, Flyers 1. It was the Bruins over the Penguins 8-4. Florida 3, Devils 2. The Lightning beat Dallas 5-4 in overtime. Nashville 4, Edmonton 2. It was Arizona over Minnesota 5-3.
The Sharks beat Chicago 7-2, Kings 5, and Columbus 2. Seattle is apparently ready for the NHL. The group looking to bring an expansion team to the city for the 2020 season says it surpassed 25,000 ticket commitments in just 2 hours after kicking off its season ticket drive on Thursday. It's one of the steps required by the league as part of the expansion process and is meant to gauge the interest in the market. NFL News, Browns general manager John Dorsey is willing to entertain trade offers for the number one overall pick. He says he's encouraging teams to make that call and make some offers. He spoke yesterday at the NFL's scouting combine in Indianapolis. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Road Talk, and now joining me in the studio, the owner of the new Depot Street Grill, Josh May. Josh, welcome to Road Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So you have been purchased and been renovating the grill there, and I'll let you give some of the details of that, the Depot Street Grill. But before we get into that, let's learn a little bit about you and your family and kind of what you're doing here. So why don't you tell us who you are and why you decided to get into the restaurant business?
Yeah, thanks. Me and my wife, we met in a restaurant. And so it's always kind of been a little, kind of dear to our hearts a little bit. Plus who doesn't like food? I grew up in this area, went to high school here, have some great friends around here, and then I moved away for a while, got married, and we decided to come back to this area, and one of the things that we want to do is really make a positive impact on our community. And so I'm a pastor here in town. And one of the things that we really wanted to do with this restaurant was just kind of reach our community. We wanted to, tithe off of the business, be able to help families, kids and stuff like that. So that's kind of our passion, really, is Jesus Christ, first of all. And then, we wanted to just kind of use this to...
So you're married? Yeah. What better way to approach a business opportunity than to keep it Christ-centered? We definitely could support that here at the Bridge for sure. So you said you have a wife. Do you have any kids?
I have two kids. They're both working there. Hopefully I'm going to give this to them one day. I have an 18-year-old Chris, and he'll be 16 this month, Michael. And so they're both working there and working hard.
Good stuff. Perfect ages to help you with a restaurant endeavor. Right. For sure. So, well, that's great. And so you mentioned, wanting to be a positive part of the community. And what made you think of buying that restaurant or being in the restaurant business? And, how does that tie to... I think I know the answer, but how does that, in your mind, does it tie to, being a positive part of the community?
I'd like to give you a great inspirational story, but really the truth is my son Chris, he worked for the previous owners, and this was his first job. He worked really hard there, did a lot of extra stuff, and to kind of save their business, they had to or they decided that they would only have 18-year-olds working there. My son was 17, so they had to let him go. And that kind of hurt him because he invested a lot of his time into that business. And so anyway, when it came up for sale, Dad, I wanted to kind of rescue him, kind of show him something, that hard work pays off. And so I kind of rushed into the... the buying of the business and got in a little over my head at the beginning. I wasn't thinking it through.
We so tend much. To do that as guys. We right? see an opportunity and we yeah. we seize it and then we deal with the aftermath.
Right. Yeah. So I went in and bought it and then I realized how much work there was to do and so
you mentioned the how much work there was to do. Why don't you tell us some of the things that you've been doing down there to make this, not only to make it your place, you know, put your touch on it, but to make it a good environment for your customers.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, my dad has been just amazing. My dad is such a talented guy and can do anything that he puts his mind to. And so he came in and he really just redid everything. I mean, I have another job, you know, and so I was gone all the time. And my dad was there faithfully every day, just, you know, fixing stuff and painting and, you know, he built just so many things, you know, he totally redesigned the place, just on his own. And so it was really incredible, but, you know, we wanted to make it clean. First of all, we wanted to really, really clean the place up. And, you know, like I said, make it safe for people, first of all. And so I think, you know, if when people come in, you know, I think they'll really notice a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good, I think if you're going to open a restaurant or you're going to reopen a restaurant in this case, I mean, that's got to be one of the number one goals. You want it to be a clean, welcoming environment that, you know, that people are going to want to be there. I mean, the food has to be good, of course, too. And we'll talk about that, definitely. But if you can't get them in the door, right. it's hard to get them to right. try your food. So, so I would imagine. Go ahead.
It was just an old building too. I mean, so we had a lot of a lot going against us anyway, just because of the age of the building. But I think it was built in the 40s, and so you know some of the stuff was falling apart and stuff. So
yeah, and I imagine that was quite the undertaking just to get all of that work done. And then of course you got to get permits. You got to get probably sure. approvals from the county, you know, health department, yeah. that kind of stuff. I've never opened a restaurant, yeah. but I imagine you got a lot of hoops to jump through to get that done.
Yeah. And it really seemed, I mean, it's been a positive experience for us. I mean, this is our first experience, you know, opening a business and all of this, but it's also been a nightmare in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, just simple stuff. Like, you know, we bought a big vinyl sticker for the front window. Well, guess what? You know, you can't put up a big vinyl sticker until you get it approved through the city. And, you know, so it just seemed like everything we did, we had to take two steps back and redo it again. And so, you know, but that's how, I mean, that's what makes strong people, you know.
Yeah, for just, sure.
A lot of adversity that comes your way, for sure.
So what, I don't know, I'm not sure I know how to ask this, but what kinds of foods are you serving there and what can we expect for the quality of the food?
So, you know, it was primarily known for a burger, shop there. And we kept that, you know, we brought in just an amazing burger. It's the best in the business, to be honest. It's a short rib brisket, chuck mix, and it's fantastic. So we brought in quality, you know, we want to have a quality burger. And then I think our cheese steaks, they're made with a ribeye steak and just a great bun. And so, yeah, so we just wanted to bring in just the best, you know. We wanted to have just food that people just love, that they'll come back for. And
yeah, so before we get into kind of the main reason you're here is because you have your grand opening coming up next week. So before we dive into that a little bit, give us an idea of, if you can, give me an idea of what are all the, or maybe not all, but what are the many different menu items that you do have? I was kind of scrolling through the menu online there, and it seems like you've got a pretty good selection. But let us know what some of the things you've got, and maybe some things that might be coming too.
Yeah, you know, they told us, or some of the guys that we worked with at the beginning, they told us, you know, you want to keep it simple at the beginning. And so I kind of went online and looked at some of the best selling burgers in America. You know, number one, the mac and cheese burger. And so we brought in just a fantastic mac and cheese to go on the top of our burger with a slice of American cheese on top to kind of hold it all together. So it's just fantastic.
I'm going to have to get my son in to try that, because he's a big mac and cheese guy.
Sure.
So he might.
Oh, me too.
He might like that one. Yeah. I'm not so much. You throw a couple onion rings or some bacon on there, I'm pretty happy. Yeah. But I don't know about the mac and cheese, but I'll bet my son would like that one for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got the barbecue bacon cheeseburger. So a little bacon, onion rings, barbecue sauce. And so, you know, we really spent a lot of time, Sierra and I, just really researching a lot. So we wanted the best ranch, you know, just, I mean, something as simple as just ranch dressing. And so we sampled a lot, and, you know, so we think we have the best and the best barbecue sauce to go on that barbecue bacon burger, you know, teriyaki sauce, all, you know, all that stuff really took a lot of time and energy to get. And, so yeah, then you know, mushroom Swiss burger. What else?
Gosh. Did I see you can get a hot dog there too?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we brought in a good Nathan's hot dog, which is the same hot dog as Costco. Everybody loves Costco hot dogs. So yeah, and we can get a bacon wrapped hot dog, chili dog.
Sounds good.
I'm kind of a hot dog guy myself.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. I grew up at the ball fields every summer hanging out. And I mean, how can you not like hot dogs if you spend your life at the ball field? So for sure. So obviously I would imagine, you know, there's some, you're going to have some employees there. And, you know, you mentioned to me off air that, you know, you really want to be known for someone that not only treats their customers well, but treats their employees well. How has the hiring process been going to get this up and running?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough. But we've had some, I mean, we have just some amazing employees. Cynthia is a combat vet. She came in and she just kind of runs our kitchen in the morning. And I just love her. I think she really stepped up. She's kind of part of the family. And then we have a lot of young people. One kid, well, he's an adult, I guess. But Jack, you know, he goes to our church. So he's been a integral part of our church, and then he kind of stepped up here, and so he's a big part of that. You know, we have Steven and Willow, and then, you know, my kids, my mom. You know, she kind of stepped in and is kind of leading it while because I work during the day. You know, Sierra works during the night. And so, anyway, my mom's there but really, you know, I just think that people will come back if you treat them well. And, that's one of the things really right from the beginning. We said, hey, we're going to say hi to every customer. We're going to thank every customer. And, you know, that's something, you know, like when you go into Bocce's, you know, I mean, they say thank you to everybody. And I just remember that from when I was younger. And so we kind of stole that.
Sure. You know? Well, I mean, hey, good business practice is good business practice. Yeah. It probably didn't start with Bocce's either, but they definitely have embraced it. And they've carried it on, even with their new ownership. They've carried on that tradition of you know, treating your customers like family. So, yeah, I salute you for that. And so you mentioned that your team leader, so to speak, that she's a vet. So that kind of leads me into your grand opening, because one of the things you mentioned to me was you've got some discounts. So before we talk about the, you know, what's going on next week with the grand opening, tell me what these discounts are you were telling me about.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of separate from the grand opening, but, you know, I just wanted to kind of, you know, make sure that we mention that, you know, we wanted to honor, you know, our first responders in the community. And so we wanted to give them a discount, you know, especially like my wife, she's a 911 dispatcher. So she works with a lot of these guys, and she knows how hard they work and what they go through, and you know, I have no clue, but she knows. And so we wanted to honor them, and then, you know, our veterans in the community as well. I mean, gosh, you have to honor them. And then our seniors. I mean, this is a retirement community, and so, you know, we wanted to definitely.
Yeah, that, and I definitely salute that. I think, especially in this community, like you said, we have a lot of seniors, and we have a lot of veterans. You know, we have a top-notch VFW right here in our town. And, yeah, so I think honoring them for sure. And then the first responders, and I don't expect you to comment on this, but, you know, there's been a lot of controversy in the news lately based on the shooting and what the cops did or didn't do. And it, to me, it just, regardless of the politics of all of that and what actually happened, it shows you that that's a hard, scary job.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for you to recognize the first responders, I salute that for sure. I think they're right up there with our veterans and you know, to be respected, because they're doing jobs that most of us don't want to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I salute that. So let's jump into your grand opening then. It's, you've already been opened, I assume. You're already operating.
Yeah.
And this,
we wanted to kind of do it quietly, but that didn't happen.
No, it never
is good.
It never does.
Yeah.
It never works out the way you expect it to.
We wanted to work out the kinks.
But. And I think that's become kind of the way, especially in the restaurant business, that grand openings happen. They have kind of a soft opening and get things going, and then they do the big, hey, we're open, you know, we got some stuff going on, come check it out. So tell us, when does this start, and what are you going to be doing?
So next week, so from Monday to Saturday, yeah, we're going to do a lot of fun stuff. I mean, we just want to have fun with it. Monday, you know, we want to do raffles all week. We had some donations from some local artists and stuff, and so we want to do raffles on those. And that's just all week. And then Saturday, we want to pick those winners and give those things away. And then, you know, we wanted to just do kind of little fun things like Monday, you know, our bacon blitz. You know, we want to add bacon to any entree for free. Tuesday's double stamp day. So we have our little cards with the loyalty stamps, you know. And so double stamp day on Tuesday. Wednesday, we want to do some kind of food challenge. Now, I don't know what it is yet. We're kind of talking about maybe you finish something in a certain amount of time and you get it for free, but I don't want anybody choking or anything, so we'll have to see.
We want them to be able to enjoy the delicious food.
And then Thursday, we just want to kind of focus on our shakes. I mean, everyone, you know, right from the beginning when we started, they said, hey, Umpqua, you have to keep Umpqua ice cream. It's the best. And really, you know, it has a cult following in this valley. It's incredible.
It really does. And I won't say that I have a different favorite, but because it gets me into a whole lot of trouble if I say that. But when I buy ice cream, it's either the one that I won't mention or it's Umpqua. And so, yeah, I'm with everybody on that. Umpqua makes a really good ice cream.
So we just kind of want to do some shake shots, you know, just give everyone kind of a sample of some shakes on Thursday. And then Friday, we want to do a bingo. My dad, like I said, who's just a master at everything he builds, and so he built this kind of this cool roulette wheel, and so we're gonna do some giveaways, like some gift card giveaways, every hour on the hour. And then Saturday, we're just going to kind of celebrate our kids, and just, we have a bunch of just mini ice cream cones that we want to give every kid on Saturday.
Yeah, that sounds like a great week of fun and really good food. And so did we, is there anything else I missed that you want to get out there? And I definitely want you to give the address, give the hours, and let people know, you know, what's going on.
I guess I just, you know, I'd want to say, like, thank you to everybody in this community. You know, like we were talking about the VFW. I mean, they tried to help us early on. We had to replace our restaurant hood, which is just a huge expense. And they actually had an extra one. Now, we weren't able to use it. It wasn't up to code, or we don't think it would have been. But they tried.
Yeah. You know?
And the guys at Main Building Supply, just awesome. Every time we go in there, they're helping us. And
now before we get a little farther here, your brother works at Main Building. That's
yeah,
right.
So I had to give a shout out.
Yeah, right? So Bobby works over at Main Building. But my question is, you're not letting Bobby anywhere near the grill, are you? we love you, Bobby.
That's funny. That is funny. Yeah, he's you know, the first, we had a big taste testing before we opened, and Bobby came in and he jumped on the fryer, and he was like a master on the fryer. I'd cooked a little bit in the restaurant biz, but you know, but he just stepped up, and he's been awesome. Him and his wife had come in and just volunteered their time to just help us and help the community, and you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah, definitely, and his wife is wonderful. Yeah. If you married half as good as Bobby did,
right?
you're doing just fine.
Sure.
Joy's just a wonderful person.
Yeah, definitely.
So was I didn't mean to interrupt you. Was there anything else we needed to get in there, or did we get it all covered?
No, this whole time since I've been talking about our employees, I'm hoping I'm not forgetting anybody.
Well, you know what, we've had that problem on this show before. You start mentioning names and you go down a road that you shouldn't have gone down. But you know what, I can assure your employees that just from sitting here talking to you, if he missed a name, it's not because he doesn't care about you. This is a stressful thing talking into a microphone.
Oh yeah.
And so believe me, if you're one of Josh's employees, you mean the world to him. I can tell that just from watching his face when he talks about you. So sounds like it's a great endeavor you've undertaken here. It's been a challenge, it sounds like, but it sounds like it's all going to be worth it. You know, this time of year with all this nasty weather, it sometimes is probably hard to get people into a restaurant. You know, it's tough. I know they canceled school today, and because of the ice, I think is probably why they canceled it. So, you know, this time of year it's tough, but man, this is it's an institution downtown. Yeah, there's some changes. It's not the same as it used to be, at least as far as, you know, you went in and did a remodel. But I would encourage everybody to, you know, give it a chance. It sounds like it's top-notch ingredients, top-notch staff, and as near as I can tell, top-notch ownership. So I think everybody should, you know, check out the grand opening next week. It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like the food is excellent. In fact, I'm going to be coming in to check it out real soon here because you've got my mouth watering just talking about it today. So tell us the address and tell any other parting thoughts you had about this.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say real quick, I want to mention my wife. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, I kind of rushed into this. You know, and that's kind of my MO. I'm a dreamer, you know, I always have been. And
you're a dude.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And so, you know, she's got to come alongside me and just pick up the pieces and make things work. And so she's just an incredible woman. And so anyway, I just wanted to, you know, just kind of build her up a little bit. Because she deserves it.
Yeah.
And so other than that, the address is 121 Depot Street, right there in Rogue River by the 76 station, which, by the way, the owner of the 76 station and the flower shop that is right next door and my other next door neighbor at the antique store, they have been incredible. Jesse over at the 76 station has just, man, he's willing to pass out flyers. He's let us park there. We had no room for any garbage service, and he let us put it over there. And just anyway, so just a great thanks to the community, and hopefully we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody get out there. It's the Depot Street Grill. And Josh, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been my pleasure to get to know you and to promote this business, because again, I know a lot of people resist change, and there's some changes, but the food is still top-notch, and it sounds like the atmosphere is top-notch, and definitely the employees. Again, when you put your employees first, they put your customers first, and I think that's a good plan you got going there. So grand opening next week, all kinds of great activities. Get out there and support a local business, because that's where it's at. In fact, Valentine's Day, you mentioned the florist across the street.
Yeah,
I was there. I was so happy they were open late, because I had been sick all week and hadn't had a chance to take care of Valentine's Day, and I knew, you know, I wanted to support our local business, and she was there late that day, and so, you know, this is another opportunity to get out and support one of our local businesses. So thanks again for joining me today, Josh.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we will take a break and be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Four people have died from falling trees amid a fierce winter storm pounding the East Coast, including a six-year-old boy. The boy was killed when a tree fell on his home in Chester, Virginia. Police say a man in James City County, Virginia, died after wind toppled a tree onto a vehicle. In the Baltimore area, a 77-year-old woman was struck and killed by a tree branch outside her home, and a man was hit and killed by a tree in Newport, Rhode Island. Police are asking for the public's help as they search for a 19-year-old man suspected of killing two people at Central Michigan University. The shooting occurred in a residence hall Friday morning on the campus in Mount Pleasant. Police say neither victim was a student. Police released the suspect's photo to the public. Anyone who sees him is asked not to confront him, but to call 911. On Wall Street, the Dow was down by 71, the NASDAQ up by 77. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Stocks fell sharply yesterday. The market retreated after President Donald Trump told industry executives that he would impose tariffs on imported steel and aluminum next week. Some investors are afraid it will lead to retaliation from other countries and higher inflation. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 420 points. Some states are urging Delta Airlines to relocate its Atlanta headquarters after Georgia lawmakers killed a proposed tax break on jet fuel that would have saved the airline millions. Delta Airlines reacted to the school shooting in Florida by announcing it would no longer offer discount fares to NRA members, and the governors from Connecticut, New York, and Virginia have been among those pitching the airline. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
To Rogue Talk, and I want to once again thank Josh for coming in and talking about the new Depot Street Grill And as we were saying at the end of that interview, or at least I was saying, I was kind of doing most of the talking right at the end of that, I would just encourage you to not only support Josh's business, but support all the local businesses here. You know, it's nice to have a thriving downtown. It just makes everything better. And the only way we can have that is to continue to support our local businesses. And, you know, many of them advertise here or underwriters of either the Bridge radio station or of the high school sports. And I'm proud to announce that Josh has decided to partner up with me here at Rogue Talk. And so we're going to be, he's going to be underwriting, be one of the underwriters for Rogue Talk for the next few months. And we're going to hopefully help each other, you know, build both of our presence bigger, build his business bigger, and build the Rogue Talk presence bigger to get it out to more people. So I'm happy to have Josh on board for that. And I want to thank him for that. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I wanted to leave as much time as I could for the interview. I don't like to cut off my guests if I don't need to. So we've got a little time left. So let's get back to look at Chieftain Sports and Junior Chieftain Sports. So first of all, the Chieftain basketball teams received some league honors this past week. Diego Agosto and Jesse Langfield both receiving first team all league honors, and Laura Howard and Tyler Walsh were on the honorable mention list for league honors for this past basketball season. So we want to salute those four athletes. Of course, if you listen to our sports broadcast, you know all of those names very well. And we'll be hearing more from all of them, you know, going into next year. Now, moving over to junior high sports, the Rogue River Junior High Wrestling team will compete at Crater this weekend. And that is the regional tournament. And they are sending two wrestlers to that regional tournament who are also conference champions. Saeed McWillie was the conference champion at 83 pounds. And Aaron Fehrenbacher was the champion at 120. And the Chieftains have some other wrestlers that are also heading to that regional tournament, but those two wrestlers were champions of the conference tournament. So we wanted to salute them and wish that whole team good luck this weekend, and make the Chieftains proud, and we know you will. So I wanted to, before we run out of time, I got a few announcements I want to make, but one of the things I wanted to hit was if you listened to last week's show, and I know a lot of people did, I don't know that everyone that heard last week's show will hear this week's show, but if you did, we had a little blunder at the end of the show, and I'm not going to make too many excuses, but couple of things happened there. I had taken my headphones off because I was having a headphone issue, and I couldn't hear things through my headphones the way I normally do. So I had taken them off, and I could not figure out why they weren't working. I may know now, but I didn't know last week. And combine that with the fact that I had Danielle Craig's website on my computer screen because we were talking about her podcast, and I was trying to promote a couple of the episodes that I had really enjoyed. And so I didn't hear because I didn't have the headphones on, or they weren't working at that time, I couldn't hear the music coming in to warn me that the show was almost over. And so we talked right into the end of the show. We talked right through the voiceover at the end and the music at the end. And I wanted to apologize to Danielle. You know, that was kind of an unprofessional way to end the show. I didn't really get a chance to thank her properly. But I was so appreciative of her coming on the show. We had a great time. It was a fun show. She's just such a neat, down-to-earth person. I really enjoyed talking to her. But I did want to apologize to her and to my listeners for that kind of unprofessional ending. And we'll try not to make that same mistake today. But otherwise, a great show. So I hope you'll go back and listen to that. And there was one particular episode that we talked about that was one of my favorites of her podcast, and it was about a firefighter that lost his leg in a motorcycling accident. And she posted a story on Facebook. So if you go to Danielle Craig, Public Figure on Facebook, and that is where her Happiness in Progress podcast is being promoted, on that particular page. And she posted an article about that firefighter, and it's kind of a nice read, and it's kind of a continuation of his story. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode of the podcast. I believe it's number 6, and then also read that article. It's just a really, really cool story. And if it interested you the way it did me, you're really going to enjoy taking a look at that. So I wanted to make sure I covered that. And I got a couple other announcements. You've got about an hour left to get to Kelly's Automotive, either in Grants Pass or Medford. Take them 36 ounces or more of peanut butter or any other nut butter, and you can get free wiper blades installed on your car. Today's the last day, so you've only got about an hour left. I had Lisa on the show last year promoting this same hunger drive, you know, food drive, and it's almost over. I didn't get a chance really to promote it too much this year, but I wanted to let you know you've got just over an hour left. And if you don't need wiper blades, just take them some peanut butter. The food bank needs all of the peanut butter and proteins that they can get. So last chance to take care of that. And finally, before we run out of time, I just want to kind of make a plea to people to be, you know, I say the same thing on my outro at the end of the show, and it's not just a tagline for me. I really do mean that. I mean, I'm kind of making a joke about the fact that this show is called Rogue Talk, and of course, there's nothing rogue about it. It's about Rogue River, but you know, with all of the discussions about the shootings and gun control and every number of different divisive issues that go on in this country, the thing that I see the most that I think we could do a lot better with would be the level of discourse and the things that we say. And I'll give a couple of quick examples before I run out of time. This past week, CNN had a so-called expert to come on and did a video shooting an AR-15. Now, first of all, the reporter that was there with him had no idea how to shoot a gun. He's lucky he didn't hurt himself. I mean, an AR-15 really doesn't kick all that hard, and he was not holding it properly, didn't really know what he was doing. And then the expert took the gun and he shot it, and he used a phrase called, he said, full, now I'm going to shoot it in full semi-automatic. Okay, there's no such thing. There's automatic and there's semi-automatic. There's no such thing as full semi-automatic. Now, I don't know if it was just a misspeak from him or if CNN was really trying to be a little deceptive there, but that doesn't help the conversation any when you're making claims like that and you're showing a guy shooting a gun that's really doesn't have that big of a kick, and he's making it look like, you know, that it's just really hard to shoot, and it's not helpful to the conversation. And I would take the other side. You know, the NRA spokesman, Dana Loesch, and I mispronounced her name last week, I apologize. You know, she made a comment that the media likes mass shootings. Now, in a way, at times, it's hard to argue against that because they post these things all over Facebook. They're always looking for clicks. But that's not productive to say that kind of a thing. It doesn't help the conversation. It doesn't. You know, as I've said to people, when someone shares the same belief as me, but they make a stupid argument, my first response is not to back them up. My first response is, dude, you're not helping. So, you know, we've got to be honest with one another and argue from facts, argue from reason, and let's quit saying really, you know, mean and divisive things. And that's all the time I've got left. So As I always say, everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com. We'll be right back.